I would think that it would be you. Who would do that? That you would be like the Russian judge.
I would be the Russian judge.
You'd be like, good form, bad dismount.
Ladies and gentlemen, buckle up for the sex. It's the Apropos of Nothing podcast.
With your hosts,
Salsa,
James,
and Jenna. I feel like we're all just a little fucking tired and punchy at the same time. Not like high energy punchy, just like brain punchy.
I got some serious Barry White going on right now.
Yeah, you do. Yeah, you do.
It's almost like my throat is fucking tired.
Well, it's not like you were swallowing weapons all weekend and shouting at people and then doing fire shit. Yeah.
Good thing I don't have to do that this coming weekend. Oh, fuck.
God damn it,
sucker.
Yeah.
Look at
it's
me.
Good thing I don't have to do that the weekend after that. Oh, fuck.
Look at me. I'm a really good entertainer that gets lots of gigs. My life is hard.
Yeah.
Can I drink this now?
Yeah, I think we fucking should.
What is it?
We've been gifted a bottle of Two Towns Cider House, The Bad Apple, Imperial Apple.
Oh.
Gifted by
Mariah.
Ooh, we like her. I'm going to fondle the gorilla.
Yep, fondle the gorilla from Mariah as well.
I kind of fucking like that.
It's not 100% my thing.
Hmm.
But it's not bad.
Like it's got like a really dry taste to it, but the aftertaste is really sweet and light.
I'm digging the aftertaste. And it's not the dryness so much as the the initial tartness with the dry.
Yeah.
Like I like to have a little bit of balance to that, but the afterwards is doing pretty good.
Okay. I would drink this.
Mm. Yeah.
I'm gonna. Think that I'm not gonna, but, you know.
And then I have cunning plans. I have an cunning plan. An cunning plan after this. So.
Cool.
You speak English good.
Me fail English? That's impossible.
Well, if you have a plan, you better do it before I drink this.
Oh, no, go ahead and drink that.
Okay.
Oh.
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
By all means, fuck up this glass.
Right. Hell yeah.
Some lawn chairs.
Cilantro? Really? With cilantro?
Almost.
With cilantro. God damn
yep.
it. Well, so we are punching and tired.
Whoa, yeah.
Drinking it down, like, quickly.
Yeah.
The tartness really hit me.
Yeah, I did. Oh, God.
Like, I actually had a...
I should have sipped that for
I actually had a closed-eye wince because of the tartness.
Yeah.
I like my cider like I like my romances.
Sipping?
Tart in front. I don't know.
I mean, I get it.
Like, this is a sipping cider.
Yeah.
It is a sipping cider. Do not chug the bad apples.
Oh, it's an imperial.
Yeah.
You're an imperial.
Pop. It's made with meadow foam honey.
It's 10.5% alcohol.
Shit, yeah, it is.
Mm-hmm. Fuck yeah. I'm down.
It's got some bite.
Oh my God, after this week, I need it.
Yeah, a little whiskey would feel good right now.
Well,
I feel...
That is what is happening.
I feel like I have a crud coming on.
Oh, God. Don't get me sick.
Hey, everybody.
Hey, Dr. Nick.
I think we all know what we've been up to. Final weekend of Fest happened.
That's one of the things.
Yes, there are other things we can discuss, but
definitely talk about more later.
But we're going to dive right into the final weekend of Renaissance Festival.
There we go.
This was a fantastic year for me.
Fuck.
I had a really, really good year.
Good.
I was very busy, but I was busy doing...
We support you.
Busy doing the things I wanted to do, and I was never busy doing the things that I had to do. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean?
Right.
Like it was... I was busy, but it was on my own terms.
Good.
And so my shows were great. I was back on Sherwood stage again.
Mm-hmm.
And I have spent countless hours performing on that stage. Like, I know that stage.
I'm sure you could count them.
That stage, I don't think I could.
We could do the math.
But that, I have spent hours and hours and hours and years performing on that stage. I know that stage. You know, that I know the step that's slightly loose that you avoid. You know, I know the where the nail is protruding so you don't rub your shoulder against that.
Oh,
you
shoulder.
Know, you know, I know where
one man's junk,
you know,
is another man's
where
shoulder.
where the one step is slightly taller than the other steps, and so you need to take a higher step, otherwise you'll trip up the stairs.
Uh-huh.
You know, I know the nooks and the crannies and the places to put things and the outlets and where I can plug in my phone and I just I know that stage.
And your family is there.
Exactly. Exactly. You know, my wife performs on that stage. That's where my kids are found when our nanny is on her lunch break. Mm-hmm. You know, like that. Being on that stage was a homecoming for me.
Good.
And so that made it so much better. You know, like I never felt like I was assigned a stage and I was going there and imposing upon it and then leaving it. You know, like, that was mm-hmm. my stage.
Right.
Like, it was my space.
Yeah. You.
And that made for, made for a good year. And the way my schedule worked out, my mornings were free for me to go and do street, which is something I haven't really been able to do mm-hmm. for years, is have, you know, before it's been like swift interactions while going from point A to point B, but this was like 3 hours of just uninterrupted street time. And I had a fantastic time, you know, being able to do that, you know. And so, yeah, I had just a phenomenal year. One of my best.
Nice.
Which is saying a lot, because last year was not one of my best. you know, there was a lot of questions past couple of years about how I felt and how I fit in the world. And after this one, I'm going, yeah, no, I'm feeling really good about it.
Mm.
That is an excellent feeling.
It is. And so when I, at the end of the Renaissance Festival... Mm-hmm. One of the last things that happens is once the people have all left and it's just mostly just performers left, is we sing the Parting Glass.
Mm.
And because of Final Fire and getting props and stuff back to the stage and stuff, I missed it.
Mm.
Yeah. I wasn't there for it.
I also
and
missed it.
That moment of closure,
yeah.
I missed, which any other year would have destroyed me.
Mm-hmm.
Because that moment of coming together one final time and singing that song together and crying and hugging, and, you know, it's always been this very cathartic bit of closure, and I missed that.
Yeah.
But I think any other year it would have been a bad thing, but this year it was a good thing, because I feel like I don't want it to end.
Hmm. You know? Yeah, you still have...
It can kind of fade into the mists of time slowly, mm-hmm. as opposed to like I need this moment,
yeah.
to say this is done and now I can cut those ties and I can move on with my life. I'm like, this year, this year I can let it linger a little bit. So
did you have to?
Yes.
Did you have to let it linger?
And then I got through 7 weekends of festival. I got through final weekend. I got through the final day. Mm-hmm. I got through the final fire. Mm-hmm. Like, literally, closing cannon went off. We did the big fuck-all fire. We're done. We are done.
Mm-hmm.
There is nothing else to do except take the props and bring them back to the Vardo and mm-hmm. throw them backstage, and that's it. Mm-hmm. Like, fest is done. And I bend over to pick up the props to put them in the wagon, and my knee buckles.
Oh, honey.
And says, fuck you, I'm done.
Well,
aww.
You had to pick a time.
Exactly.
Right.
Yeah.
The timing was flawless.
Yeah.
But my knee just, like, right down the center of my kneecap, it just, like, this sharp pain.
Yeah.
And it was like, and we're done.
Yep.
and it was, yeah, it was like, you son of a bitch.
Yeah.
At the same time, if it had gone 5 minutes earlier, it would have been really bad.
Right.
Yeah.
So. Well, thank you for waiting till now, but fuck you for doing it at all.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. And then a bunch of us went out to dinner, and I ate all the food.
Fucking
it started
right.
with a light snack, some of those plastic swords, and worked his way up from there.
I'm coming to that.
Oh my god, are you fucking kidding me? That's awesome.
No, we went to dinner. We went to the Jordan Supper Club, I had an entire pasta entree and an entire appetizer, like their nachos, by the way. If you ever go to the Jordan Supper Club, get the nachos, because it is a fucking mound.
Okay.
Like, that plate is like a foot square and they pile it up like 6 inches.
Nice.
Just and so those nachos are amazing. So I went through a ton of nachos, and I went through an entire pasta entree, and I was like eating dessert, and just like I was hungry.
I believe it.
Yeah, exactly.
I'm going to take just a moment for this next drink, which is a tiny Johnny Jump Up.
Yep. Yay.
Using that same, along with the Knob Creek rye that we have.
I feel like that actually balances it a little bit better for me.
Oh, yeah.
Right?
Not for me.
No?
No.
I don't get the same, like, punchy tartness, the same like pineapple tartness.
I feel like the rye doesn't go with this cider as well.
Very interesting, but stupid.
Yeah, no, I'm not actually finding the rye much at all.
Clink.
Like, it just kind of blends in for me. So.
But so we're getting done. Like, I'm exhausted. I'm bobbleheading, and yeah. And so we're like, we're getting ready to go, and we go and we start saying goodbyes and talking to Brett, my friend, and he starts making fun of me. He's like, look at me, you know, I'm Casimir, and he takes a regular, you know, butter knife, dinner table knife, and he like puts, just puts the you know, the blade of the butter knife and basically in his mouth, and then he like, ooh, you look at me. And so I take it out of his hand, and I jam the whole thing down my throat. Handle first.
Yeah.
All the way down, like, past the bend, so I'm actually able to look forward.
Oh, my God.
And then back up and out. And, and you know, laugh. And then just, like, 15 seconds later, our waitress rushes up. And was like, what happened? I missed it. I want to see it. I want to miss.
Oh, shit.
Because somebody had, I don't know where, but somebody was like, you just missed it. And she was like, I want to see this. And so I did it again, and our waitress lost her fucking mind.
Well, yes. I mean, to be fair to your waitress, it is fucking mind-blowing.
Yes. And then, so we're all, you know, like, laughing at her reaction. And
fucking carnies. Yeah.
No, that's exactly it. Because after she left, we're laughing about it. And we're like, yeah, you know, it's not that big a deal. That guy swallows swords. That guy's got 2 world records. Whatever. You know, just like, no big thing.
Fucking carnies.
Exactly. I can reverse a 2-wheel trailer at 90 degrees into a parking
impressive.
Spot.
That is really impressive.
That's
my fucking side. That's, I want my sideshow to be like, you know, like next to the,
I would pay
like
money
the
that.
Dog face boy and the fire eaters and then this guy just backing a fucking 2-wheel trailer into a parking spot.
So that's my story.
Yeah.
And then I went back to the tent and I fell asleep.
Fair enough.
And I slept until like 9 in the morning, and then we packed up the stage and I came home and I took a nap.
Yeah.
And then we went and got the kids, and then I went to bed.
Mm.
And then I slept in this morning, and...
Yeah.
Yeah, there's been a lot of sleeping.
Yeah.
God, I wish.
Weird.
Mm-hmm. We were smart this year,
mm-hmm.
and after we packed up our stage, my wife and I had already packed up our swimming suits, and we went straight to the Y, and we sat in the hot tub
for
20 minutes before coming home.
Yeah. You brilliant jerk.
His wife's a brilliant jerk.
No, he's the jerk. She's just brilliant.
She's the brilliant, fair. I'm the jerk, yeah.
That's fair.
Because last year we had forgotten our swimsuits, and I had to sneak into my own house to get the swimsuits so our kids didn't see us. That way we could go to the Y. And so, yeah. Nice. But this year I remembered to remind her to pack up those swimming suits on Friday. So,
that's a fucking nice.
And it was just a little stop. You know, 20 minutes in the hot tub on the way home on Monday.
But,
and
yeah.
It made
that's pretty
smart.
Fucking brilliant.
God.
Jenna?
My year, every once in a while you have a year that's just kind of meh.
Yeah?
My shows were amazing.
You were in them. Of course.
Well, I mean, there's that. My group is fantastic. Mm-hmm. Like, I don't have any actual complaints.
Mm-hmm.
But between... having it, like, I seriously had basically a nonstop period for the past 2 months. But just light. Like, you know, light spotting, and then a little bit heavier, and then back to light spot. Like, I had a couple of days where there wasn't anything, but that was in like, the entire season. I seriously finally stopped bleeding on Saturday.
Not really selling it. I don't think I want it.
Yeah, no. So, like, there was all of that and all of the hormones and the moodiness and just the fucking trying to make sure I don't become anemic and probably still being tired because of some of that. There was all of that stuff. Thanks, perimenopausal, and thrown into a room full of women. like, that's just a thing. And I was not the only lady that had those issues either. So there was that. There was adding the assistant campground director responsibilities into that and just trying to find the balance there. I don't think I actually found it until about fourth or fifth weekend, which is most of the season's gone at that point, right?
Right.
But, yeah, like, so trying to find the balance there. Also, just, like, you know, everybody's day ends at, like, 7:30. Mine doesn't end there. Like, I'm starting the same time as everybody else, but I just got to keep going afterwards. There was a lot of... I feel like I did a lot of things and didn't feel overly productive in any of it. Which is a very frustrating feeling to have.
Yeah.
There was that. And like I said, my shows were fantastic. I had a moment over the weekend where I had to shout a guy down.
Fuck.
Well, every once in a while you get most of the time, everybody's great and respectful towards the belly dancers. Or, you know, a little teasy, but whatever.
I heard about this.
Yeah, there was a guy that at the beginning was like, yeah, belly dancers, and like shouting a few things. And like, I just talked over him.
Yeah.
Which, you know, doing my job, whatever. And we got into the dancing. And he was fine during the dancing. And then afterwards, he shouted something about how it needs to be more pornographic or something to that effect. And I just turned to him and I said, you need to stop now.
Mm-hmm.
You, buddy, sitting next to him, you keep an eye on him.
Mm-hmm.
And like, I could feel the audience relief. I don't know if that guy had been a jerk throughout half the feast or what, but I could feel the audience being like, good, that happened.
Yeah.
And then I picked back up.
Yeah.
And I do have a joke that I usually do in my patter,
right?
About, you know, who wants some one-on-one time with the ladies? Yeah, I cut that joke. I was like, I don't feel the need to, because it's one-on-one time with the ladies leading into their solo stuff, their showcase, right?
Mm-hmm. So it's like a casual misunderstanding joke,
right? Exactly, that kind of a thing. I didn't feel the need to put that one in front of people at that particular point in time.
No.
So, yeah, like, I had the mom voice moment, which everybody was like, oh, God, thank you so much for doing that. And I'm like, that's my job, and that's what I did, right?
Been
like,
a generate.
Get out.
Oh,
no, right. Stay here. You're going to pour me a Dr. Tiki.
Fuck. All right. Yeah, I can do that.
Yeah,
but...
Oh, sorry.
Yeah, so, like... I mean, it was overall this season was me just doing my job.
Yeah.
And I probably did a really fucking good job at it, but it was just me doing my job. You know, that was kind of the feeling that went behind it. And yeah, again, I had some great moments. The group was amazing, everything else, but it just kind of felt disconnected this year. And you always get those years.
Sure.
Right? You know, they happen. When you're on your 27th season under contract, not including, you know, times you spent as a shop rat before that, yeah. Like, you know, you're going to have a few that just don't quite connect as well.
No.
So, yeah. I mean, yeah, overall season was good. I was in two groups that got nominated for Best Act, and one of those groups won. So that was cool. But that was a group that I didn't get to play with much, and that kind of sucked.
God damn it.
I know. Yeah, well, we just needed you to get the fuck out, and, you know. Yeah. You've been holding us back this entire time, Salsa.
Absolutely true.
Yeah.
I've made peace with that.
but yeah, like, and those were great moments. I was personally, and this is going to sound a little weird, I was more excited for, like, the new Unicorn winners.
Oh, yeah.
Like, I was really glad and happy that Vilification Tennis got Best Act.
Yeah.
By the way, Vilification Tennis got Best Act. Way to bury the lead
on that one. Yeah.
Yeah.
That was fucking fantastic.
And is also but, going to follow the tradition of Best Act by
fucking
not coming back next year.
Yeah.
Shit.
But... I already know how awesome we are in Ville.
Yeah.
Right.
Like, it was more exciting to watch people who didn't know how awesome they are get acknowledged for being awesome.
Especially...
you know what I mean?
I am not particularly familiar with any of the winners except for one.
Sure.
And the one with whom I'm familiar also was in chess with us.
Yep.
And she's just... fucking great.
Yep.
And like, it was powerfully heartwarming to see her win that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, and I think she was the most like surprised and overwhelmed by it too. Like just watching her be like,
good.
"I got a what?" Like just,
yeah.
What? Huh? Yeah. No, that was fun. But like for all of them though, I'm like, oh good, I can't believe you didn't have one yet. You know? Like,
yeah.
Just like, oh, heartwarming. So yeah, and watching like Rookie and Crap, all of those, I was just like, so yeah, that was, award ceremony happened. There were some snafu things that happened Sunday. I helped get them all sorted out, and had some important conversations with a few people, but I don't feel all of those are for consumption.
Sure.
For podcast consumption. But they are things that kind of affected my final day.
Yeah.
I understand.
You know? So. So, yeah. But I'm not down about the season. I'm just not. It was just one of those seasons that just kind of.
You just got out there and did what you needed to.
They happen. Yeah. Those seasons will happen every once in a while. So.
Sure.
Yeah. How about your season, are you...
No, I did want to... You were talking about the heckler thing.
Mm. Yeah.
I did want to bring up that I did the smoker for the last Saturday.
Sure.
Because some of the usual acts are in Carolina. So I came and stepped in. And there was this one table. And... I was the second or third act on, and by the time I got there, they were already just well beyond.
Now, didn't they have like 3 to 4 wristbands?
Yeah, it was exactly. Jesus. They had been. They were at the mead show in the exact same location. They finished the mead show, in which they drank a lot of mead. They stood up, walked over to Banner Oak,
right,
and then walked right back to do the exact same. Yeah.
Fuck.
So yeah, they were well in their cups, and so I
and everybody else's cups too.
So apparently. I feel like I handled them well.
Yeah.
I didn't think I did anything spectacular, but after the show, somebody did come up to me and like shook my hand and was like, good job dealing with the hecklers. And I was like, okay.
I just did my job.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. I was like, I didn't really think I did anything special. Yeah. I just dealt with it and moved on. But I was talking to Eric Thompson later because Wise Fools also did that show. And Wise Fools, you know, and he was like, at one point, you know, they were trying to do their thing, and this woman was like started shouting for more beer, and they were like, you'll get more beer after we're done here,
right?
You know, and you know, she just kept shouting for beer, and Eric basically finally went, if you just shut up, we can finish and you'll get your beer faster,
right?
You know, and the whole audience basically like cheered it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like, and when you have when you have that asshole
that the
audience knows.
That the rest of the audience hates.
Yeah.
Well, it's,
at that point,
that's my thing, though. If you're being that asshole,
yeah,
the rest of the audience hates you because you're fucking with their good time.
Exactly.
I had a very different experience that asshole about this.
Exactly.
So last weekend, as a matter of fact. So, there's a musical act out there that I super admire. And
the Dregs.
No, that I admire.
Ravenscroft.
So without Broken Brogues. there are reasons that I'm not going into it. There's a musical act out there that I greatly admire. And
The Dregs.
So.
I already made that joke, fucker.
I know, but the look on his face.
This is a masterclass on how to deal with fucking hecklers.
Okay. But was it The Dregs?
So, the best handling of heckling that I've ever seen was from Puke and Snot. Like, especially when Joe is around, Mark and Joe fucking handle that shit powerfully. I saw that somebody was getting, you know, really like, woo, yeah, tell another dick joke, whatever, like telling them what to do when they were on stage, and they both just turn and they go, the rodeo is that way, get out. Or somebody received a call on a phone and was like talking low into it in the middle of the audience, and Mark just walks out and he goes, let me see it, hand it over. And they put the phone in his hand and he picked it up and he said, I thought I told you never to call me here. No, no, no. Okay, bye. And then closed it and handed it back. It was like,
yeah,
got on with the show. And I've seen people handle hecklers really well, and I've seen people handle them not so well. And my initial experience was that this musical act was having a lot of trouble with a particular heckler, and not even somebody who was heckling like abrasively. They were just powerfully drunk and very into the show.
Mm-hmm.
And to the point where they were being disruptive of everyone else's enjoyment of the show.
Right.
So at some point the singer for the musical act was like, I will give you this CD if you leave. I will, out of my own money, I will take my own money and I will give it to you and you leave, and then it's done. Just go home.
Right.
Yeah. And she didn't, and continued to raise havoc in the show, and was like visibly drinking out of a series of flasks and getting increasingly drunk and aggressively like, and there's not much to do to step in. I froze up, which is part of my problem, but then the other problem was at some point the lead singer just chucked the CD into the audience at the person and was like, get out. There, take it. And like, now, a few different things. I felt super gross about it. I was approached by different people, and they were like, we feel super gross about this, especially in today's climate, like throwing something at a woman.
Yeah.
You just, like, it's not that you have to be able to handle hecklers. I found out later, number one, later, that same woman accosted me, like, grabbed my ass without permission.
Oh.
So, that's an extra wrinkle in that shit. But so that's mixing everything up. And then later I talked to the musicians, and they actually they apologized and said that they had like they understood this was not the way to handle it, and that all of this shit had gone wrong, and but that this person has been following them to all of their shows.
Oh God!
Oh.
And has been like serially doing this to them and interrupting their shows. And that this was just the last straw. Now, still, and again, the lead singer was like, not the way to handle it.
Right.
I fucking handled it very badly, and I'm sorry, and I am sorry that you had to be there and see it, and that you had to have any part of that. But, like, heavy shit. Like, so good on you for handling heckling well. It is a learned skill.
To be fair, there is a breaking point.
There is.
Like, there just straight up is.
Luckily,
none of my shows last long enough for that to be a thing. Nor do I have shows that they can easily follow me from show to show. Like, you're going to have to buy an awful lot of feast tickets, is what I'm saying.
dealing with a heckler is very similar to the old joke about the bullfighter. The bull doesn't always lose.
Right.
You know, it's no matter how many tricks and tips and how many years you've been doing it and how many lines you have, every so often, the heckler wins.
Yeah.
And there's just nothing you can do about that. And at some point, you just got to... There's nothing else to do. And you lose your shit. It happens.
Yeah.
I had one on Sunday, I think, where I had a younger, I'd say between 10 and 15 years old kid who had been to one of the earlier shows and was basically jumping on all the jokes.
Oh.
You know, like throwing all the punchlines out before I, you know.
And they're just so excited.
Oh, and it was just
the problem.
That's exactly it. They want to show off that they know the show, and they're like, I know what's coming up, and it's just like, but you're ruining it for everyone else.
Yeah.
You know, and I had to call them out on it a couple times. I was just like, don't ruin it for everyone else, kid.
Yeah.
You know?
And after the second or third time, he kind of got it. And it was just like, look, no, if you're looking for accolades from me and look how impressed I am that you know my show, you're not going to get it.
Yeah.
What you're doing is you're ruining it for everyone else. And
that's when you go the Santa route.
Mm-hmm.
Like, look, I know you know that Santa Claus isn't real, but you got to keep it.
Yeah.
What?
Yeah.
Whoops.
God damn it.
So, yeah, it's hecklers. You can have a plus 30 in, you know, dealing with hecklers.
Yeah.
But every so often you roll a natural one and the heckler wins. And it throws you off. And sometimes you just, especially if they've been following you around all day.
Yeah.
No. Apparently this person had been, like, following them on Twitter and had attended shows in other states and was
we are reaching stalker level.
Yeah.
Right.
This is.
And that was, for me, like, I had my own problems with this person because of the having my ass grabbed and fondled. Yeah.
Because of the sexual assault.
Right.
That's what that was.
Which is what.
Yeah. But I can only imagine. Still, I mean, you have to handle things well.
Mm-hmm.
Even when you lose, the way to win that is by losing gracefully.
Yeah.
But that isn't easy.
No.
By any means.
Yeah. There is a certain incredibly difficult where we're all human, but goddamn, have you got to try to not be in certain situations.
Yeah.
Well, this turned into a conversation about hecklers, but James, how was your week?
I've been
and your run overall.
I felt my run was fucking fantastic. I got to do, like I said in an earlier episode,
one busy boy.
I was busy. I spent all day fucking shouting in a way that I haven't before.
Mm-hmm.
But I got to do all of these things that are my dream. I got to do a comedy duo show Even if it's not on a stage, I got to do a comedy duo show that I wrote with a friend, and people complimented us on.
Nice.
And we got tipped and got tipped well. And I actually just got paid for that as well. And
yeah,
it's good money. The other thing that I've always wanted to do was to champion at the fencing booth. And I didn't really feel like I had put in a ton of time doing it until this last weekend, where I had 8 or 10 champion bouts in a row. And just like by number 8, like the ringmaster's coming forward and was like, you know, we can swap you in for somebody else. Like somebody else can. I'm like, no, fuck it. I'm doing it. We're just getting, put in the next person. Yeah, and then they're like, the next person has a partner, and I'm like, thank fucking God. And I like got the fuck out of the ring and took a break for a moment. But holy
shit.
Only
for a moment.
And the moment's gone. Yeah, it was really fucking whew. Yeah, but it was really good experience.
Sure.
And then following that, I found that my my ability to fence was dramatically improved. And I just feel like doing that so much more will allow me to have even more fun. And the show that I put on for championing, I felt, got better and better and better. Because it's one of those things where it's just exposure to the thing. It gives you the opportunity to change it from just the mechanics of it into a real
I thought
show.
You were doing the day that I was there drumming.
Yeah, I was doing ringmastering.
You were ringmastering, right. Granted, you had a smaller audience to work with on that day, just because it was one of those weird days that we had a smaller crowd. But I've been watching people ringmaster for decades at this point, and I've seen worse.
I love ringmastering. I've been doing that now for, I want to say 5 years.
Oh, yeah. Well, then I'd think you'd be better at it.
Right. Mm-hmm. Right?
But I mean,
I'm teasing.
To be fair, I'm comparing you, the ones I'm familiar with are like, Mav and
who were doing it for 20 plus years, sure.
And you know,
and they were the ones that taught me, so exactly. I picked up a lot of their
so my baseline is admittedly way up here, and you were not embarrassing yourself in any way, shape, or form.
Well, and I even came up with a new bit for ringmastering because people get into the ring and then suddenly they're seeing the steel swinging at their face and they're afraid of it. And usually,
can't imagine why.
Fucking right.
I don't get it.
Every instinct in your body is telling you to be afraid of this thing that's coming at your face. And then, especially if they get a balloon taken, I'll stop the match and I'll borrow their opponent's sword and I'll just start like giving them a quick couple of taps on the mask and I'll be like, "That does that hurt? No, right. The only thing injured here is your pride. You have to." give the sword back to their enemy. And I'm like, you also have a sword. Don't be afraid.
Yeah.
Which weirdly seems to do the trick. What they're worried about is it hurting, or they're worried about it getting, hitting their face. And when you show them viscerally that it doesn't matter, then they can enjoy themselves. And that's what I'm really after.
Sure.
And then also you get a good, light laugh out of the audience when you're like, the only thing injured is your pride, especially when it's like, the boyfriend who's a head taller than the person that he's fighting. It's also just like when somebody talks really big coming in, it's great to give them a little bit of a ribbing.
Yeah.
I had a wonderful weekend doing that. And then final weekend of Ville, at the Renaissance Festival ever.
Yep.
Holy fucking shit.
I got to watch about half of Final Ville from the balcony.
Oh, yeah.
With another former vilifier.
Yeah.
At one point, we're just holding hands, like, aww, my baby's going away. but, yeah, I was in a weird position this year because, I'm still on cast.
Right.
I just have a conflicting show, so I only got to vilify like twice this year.
Yeah.
But so watching it was just this mix of sad, but it was also like, but I wasn't gonna be able to do it much anyway, so awkward. Like, but it's still like there. So there was that portion of it, but it's still like, you know, I mean, I started doing Ville in 2002 on the Bears stage before we were like an actual cast.
Mm-hmm.
You know, when we were still just a collective of individuals.
Doing a street bit.
Doing a once-a-day street bit on a stage, really. And so, yeah, like, there's this, oh, we're never going to be that.
Yeah.
We're not going to be this. We're moving on, and we've grown, we're kind of like an empty nest feeling.
Yeah.
You know, we're moving on to college, and the kid's not going to be around anymore. Not even coming back to do laundry because they're going to school out of state. Like, what the fuck? Like,
sure.
But it was that kind of a feeling.
Yeah.
Being up there. It's like, yeah, we haven't really been able to, but at the same time, there's still that empty nest feeling, you know?
Yeah. Yeah. But it was fucking gigantic. And I didn't even realize how big it was, the show.
Well, I did.
Right.
I had a pretty good idea.
I got to see it, like, aerial view.
I saw the I saw the photo that was taken from roughly your vantage point, and that crowd looks like there's a fucking concert going on. That stage is surrounded on all sides, and it is thick with people. And I didn't even, like, I was starting to get the impression of it when they called for the net on the final day, and we have never had people scramble like that. We had a net that was consistently two across, but three across in many places, because people just needed to be part of that final net.
Right.
And it was, a lot of people came out to see the show that had not had the opportunity, and we did all kinds of crazy shit.
I know some former vilifiers that came out to see it, like, came out to festival
on
that day specifically to see it.
Which was fucking wonderful. Right? It was so good to see them.
Yeah, I know.
Yeah. Just in general, but also very specifically to have them there for that final show.
I was able to swing by on my way from point A to point B and kind of give everybody the kick-ass everyone. But then I had to run, and, and I did see some of those other people that were sitting there watching, and it was just like, I got to the Pig and Swig, and I was like, I have never wished that this event was canceled before.
Yeah.
But I kind of wish it had been. Like, I wanted to be there for that. But I also surprisingly had made peace with it. Like, I really, honestly, I've been saying that all year, you know. Every time I walk by, I'm like, it surprisingly hasn't hurt at all. But final day was really the test. Was this going to be? Because final day, I've done that so many times. And it, it, there was a pang. But I also was like, I have other things to do. And time to move on.
Yeah. The consummate professional.
I wouldn't go that far.
Well,
I mean,
yeah, he doesn't consummate anything. His children aren't his.
By which I mean, you are a person who is too busy to have time to spend.
I mean, if that's what you call a professional, then I know
I've been
a
professional for years.
I know a lot of single mothers who are professional.
Right, yeah.
Me too.
Honey, I've been a professional for like 18 years now.
Right, pretty much exactly.
So how was your final bill? Like,
I had a fucking blast. I actually got one joke in there that I had written specifically for the final weekend. And I got one joke in there that I had not gotten to throw before. And another one that I wrote just a little bit before I stepped on stage. Which is not a usual thing. But I knew that I was never going to have the opportunity.
Oh, that was my every show.
to do it ever again, because it involved the performance personas of the vilifiers out there.
Right.
And they don't use the same names, and it wouldn't make any fucking sense. Mm-hmm. And the chances of being matched up against the two of them anywhere else, like, it was just so many things. I'm like,
this is it.
It's today or never again. Yeah. Yep. And the really dumb thing that I came up with got a good laugh out of the audience. That joke got a reasonably good laugh out of the audience.
Nice.
I just had an incredible time and was in love with the show that we put on as a group.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, that. And then I did final pub crawl with Kyle.
Nice.
And it took us a couple of weekends to figure out what the fuck we were doing. But we had a good weekend doing pub crawl. And yeah. I feel like he and I have a solid show. It's one that we can improve on, but we also wrote most of the stuff that we were performing by the end of the weekend. Like, we started with limericks and things like that, and some of them were just ones that I've memorized. But by final weekend, we were doing, I want to say, 90% really incredibly dumb stuff that we'd written ourselves for the show. And it felt fucking amazing to have an audience's attention for something that we came up with and we were performing. That final pub crawl audience was small, but that, I think, almost made it better. Because we could really give them an intense show and focus on them instead of focusing on herding them all around and trying to keep 60 fucking people quiet.
Mm-hmm.
Mm. Especially fucking Saturday. They ran out of the correct glasses, so they gave them different glasses, and then also rewarded them with a fourth beer, which was
a mistake.
I mean, I can only think of it as being a mistake, because they're already pretty drunk and rowdy when that shit starts. Most of them had a beer before they received their tickets to get more beer. And then we're giving them, in that case, a second, third, and fourth beer automatically just with the three regular tickets, with an opportunity to win a fifth beer. And then, because we were out of glasses, a sixth. Like, that's a 5 to 6 beers in. I don't care who you are. And that's just right there at that pub during that one event. And chances are astoundingly good that they had more.
Mm-hmm.
that they had been drinking all fucking day. And it's marvelous that they could pay attention to themselves, much less anybody else. But, like, Sunday's crowd was really, like, ready for entertainment. They had their three beers. They had a good time. They complimented us on the show. They wanted us to perform the things that we did best. They asked for more puns.
No, no, get out.
Go on.
But should he go on getting out, or should he just go on with his story?
Well, no, go on getting out.
Oh, okay.
What did you think?
Oh, all right.
Come back. Oh, I'm going to need more booze.
Oh, okay. Oh, all right. So orangutan learns to pour, I'm out of a fucking job.
You really are.
It's clearly
working on it. It's figuring it here.
Clearly, that fourth beer had done its work if they were asking for
No, this was during the three beer Sunday.
Clearly, they were drunk. Yeah. If they were asking for more puns.
You're not wrong. It was it was really gratifying to have them engaged and excited for the really fucking stupid shit we do. And people were asking, like, what other performance stuff we do. And then I went and watched the last Wise Fools show ever.
Yeah.
At 5. And it was good. Yeah. It was really good.
I believe it. And I feel like all of their shows were good. Maybe you should have gone to some of those other ones.
I did. I did also. No, I
didn't. Don't ruin my joke.
I'm taking the fucking thunder out of it.
God damn it. I fucking hate you, James.
I'm crapping on your heart. That's what I do. So the...
I'm going to cry.
The other thing was the bit that Kyle and I performed with Cabbage. After all of the shows and that kind of thing, Cabbage has come up with something just fucking awful, and Kyle and I only make it worse.
Oh, good.
Yeah, it's a bit that she calls Priv Soup.
Okay.
Yeah, she buys blue slushies, she lets them melt. Kyle buys fudge and rolls them into some little turds. We float them in the melted blue liquid, and then we stand inside the privy, and we drink out of these cups and, like, fish for the little fudge turds in there with spoons and eat them in front of people, which is enough, all on its own. Like, that's a fucking enough. But then Kyle's like, oh, there's soup in the magic boxes if you hurry. It's free soup. Free soup in the end. And then I contributed, like, yeah, if you hurry, the broth is still really warm. And we saw a couple of dry heaves. We saw a lot of fucking really terrified looks, I want to say. Like, terrified. And then, it was to the point where I, as a performer, knowing everything about what was happening, got a little sick. Like, viscerally, it was making me ill to do this thing.
Amateur.
Right. But it was, as I was eating one of the pieces of fudge that had peanuts in it, that...
I couldn't have that. I'm allergic.
Right.
It wasn't mine.
That I was like, oh, God, don't think about it. What? Yep. No, but nothing actually, there was no. Like, but yeah, my body was like, maybe throwing up? Maybe I should have the dry heaves happen? And then I'm like, no, we're not doing anything gross. These are all things that we would eat. This is not anything to do with the bathroom. We're just standing in a bathroom. And then I look at Kyle and he's got like blue stains on his face and in his beard from the fucking slushy. And it really honestly looks like he's been drinking out of a priv. And I was like, oh boy, we have to look away. All right.
Mm-hmm. I have that conversation with my body 21 times a day.
Yeah. Yep. Yeah. And then, but then, like, especially after fishing a couple of little fudge turds out of there, when there's, like, a brown smear on the spoon, and there's, like, little bits of flotsam in the... I was like, all right, okay. We're not looking at it. We're just doing the bit. We're just fucking doing the bit. We're just making it happen for these patrons who are super squicked out right now. Yeah. Yeah. That was when it started to get really good, was when there was like a gross stain on the spoon and Kyle just takes it into like, and I saw somebody go, oh, God, no. Yeah. Yep. It was worth it.
It was
fucking worth it.
Was it, Kyle?
And then I got to see Final Fire for the first time. I've never seen it in person before. Yeah.
Yeah, it's a big boom with lots of fire.
Yeah. A couple of booms. Beautiful.
Lots of fire. Yeah.
I felt bad because there was a photographer that I recognized the photographer's face, and he was like, I'm going to stand here. I'm going to take photos. And I was like, you can't, because people are going to come through here. It's going to be super busy right now. And you just can't, I can't let anybody stand here. I'm sorry. I know, but you have to be somewhere else. Like you're a cool person, but no. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yep. But that was, the other thing was like, I think overall for the weekend, I probably hit 30 miles again.
Very cool.
And at the end, I was fucking done. I do not have any concerns that I did not put myself fully and completely into the run, and especially that last weekend.
Sure.
Because before Ville, on the final day, I was climbing the hill out of the campsite with the shoes to go with the kilt, and I was like giving myself a little pep talk. And I was like, come on, man. This is the last fucking day.
Well, that's me every time, but I'm fucking a smoker,
you
so.
You gotta do it. This is the show. You gotta, like, a little bit before the show, you're gonna get changed. You're gonna find the energy. You're gonna find it. And we're gonna get up this hill. This first thing, it's just a little bit farther. We're just gonna keep going. We're just gonna, like, storm this fucking day, and then you can sleep in. And I couldn't, but I did. Yeah. You know, deal with it in whatever way. But I got up to the top of the hill, and Jeff from the Ridiculous Puppet Company was up there, and he was like, "You doing okay?" I was like, "No,
no.
See you in a few minutes." And he was like, "Yep, all right." Fuck.
Anything else exciting, or should we wrap it up?
No, I think that's pretty much it. I got home and I was so fucking tired that I couldn't stop at McDonald's on the way home. I had to have it delivered.
I think we need to take a break before I tell you about my homecoming from Fest.
Yes, yeah. I look forward to it.
Oh God, no, you don't.
Because I care.
Uh huh.
Mm-hmm.
So anyway, should we take a break?
Yeah. I think we can do that.
Cool.
All right, we're going to take a break. We will come right back at your ear holes, and we will talk about some other shit. We'll find out what it is at that time.
Hey, everybody. You should like us on Facebook, apropos of nothing. You could follow us on Twitter at AON Podcast, or you could join our Steam group at AON Podcast. Search for Apropos of Nothing.
Ladies and gentlemen, Brandon Patton was kind enough to give us the music for this episode and every episode. You can see what he's up to at brandonpatton.com. You can also subscribe to the podcast on iTunes, but especially you can help us out by rating our show. Check out our merch. You can go to society6.com/AON podcast.
If you guys like what you heard, you can visit us on our website at aonpodcast.com. If you want to talk to us directly, you can send us an email at either Jenna, Salsa, or James at aonpodcast.com, or collectively at feedback@aonpodcast.com. And we're back. I am Salsa.
I'm James.
And I'm Jenna.
And we are...
tired as fuck?
Back.
And tired as fuck.
And going to talk about some other stuff.
Other.
That happened.
I heard
some other stuff?
I heard some mother stuff, and I'm like, well, kind of. Hey, guys.
Fair enough.
Hey, guys. Guess what? Hey,
Nick.
Guess what, you guys?
What's that?
I live in a hotel.
Uh-huh.
I got back. I decided Sunday night that it would be warmer to go back home and sleep in my house.
Right.
Because normally that is.
Yeah.
Except that it really wasn't in this case.
Shit.
It was fucking cold. And I have an electric blanket, so it wasn't as awful as it could have been, but it was still like... Trying to get up the next morning, I was like, fuck everything. So I tried to figure out, like, and I had messaged the landlord on Sunday. I'm like, hey, I'm going to want a furnace to be turned on.
Right.
You know, and I don't have a manual for this. So if
so
you could,
selfish.
I know. If you could, you know, provide a manual or something, because I don't know how to make this go. I think, like, I had sent that, like, Saturday even. Like, I don't even remember, but... Hmm. So I'd been hoping that I would have a furnace that was on by the time I got home, and this was not the case. So there was some kind of email lost in translation, and or not lost in translation, just lost to the Nethers. Like, my roommates got it, but I didn't, which is weird because I sent the original email. And it was like, somebody will be over at like 3 o'clock on Monday. I'm like, okay, well, that's the thing. Cool. And these guys show up and they're like, I'm a plumber. I'm an electrician. I don't know what to do here. Like,
that's the beginning of a porn. Like,
yeah, not with me. It wasn't. And it sure hell wasn't with my daughter. So,
No. I'm just,
yeah.
Yeah. Like the first guy's like, I'm here to lay the pipe. And the other one's like, I'm here to turn you on.
And I was like, can you just make my furnace go? And they're like, no, we don't know how to do that.
Shit.
And then they left. Like, it was a really bad porn, you guys.
Think, like, between the two of them.
That would be
really bad porn.
That would be an amazing porn. Yeah. Just like,
if it wasn't actually my life happening right now, like, I'd be way more into this idea. So let me go.
Yeah.
Let me go. So they're on the phone, like, so I've got my roommates, like, kind of hovering at the edge, like, hey, what's going on? And I'm like, I'm trying to deal with this thing. Like, it's okay, you guys. Like, and they start, like, inputting information, and I'm like, don't do this. This is gonna overkill. Just one of us handling it, and right now it's me. And, like, cause yeah, you can't overwhelm them with information, or nothing's gonna get done.
Right.
So I'm like, I'll be point of contact and we'll get this handled. And he was like, well, we can't do anything. I'm like, well, my house is freezing, you know, because you're in it right now. And I can't be here and function in this low temperature.
Right.
And I didn't have a thermometer to find out how low it was, but it felt like 40s.
Yeah.
Inside my house.
Shit.
So I was like, I need you to talk to the landlord and be like, hey, landlord, this is happening. We need somebody out here. They're like, well, I know we can get the furnace guy out tomorrow morning. I'm like, that's not going to work.
Yeah.
I need a place to sleep.
That's not the question.
And this is not acceptable. Hmm. So they go to call the landlord. And they're like walking out of the house as they're talking to him about it. And like, cool. They just want to go outside to talk to him or whatever. And then they leave. And they these guys did not give me any further information. So I call the landlord and I say, so this is what happened. I'm not spending the night here tonight if I don't have a functioning furnace.
Right.
You need to figure this out. To the landlord's credit, he called me back like right away without even listening to the voicemail, which I wish he would have. But he called me back and was like, so what's going on? And I'm like, did you not get the voicemail? He's like, no, I just called you back right away. I'm like, okay, so let me explain. And he's like, I'll be out there right away. We'll get some heaters out there for you.
Right.
You know, and that's fine. Like, if it's warm enough for me to be able to spend the night, then I'll do it. Like, I'm not overly picky. So he comes by with these heaters. And we go to plug them in. Like, I was like, I need one for each bedroom.
Right.
Because there's three of us, and they are small bedrooms, and we can't all pile into the same bedroom. They're tiny bedrooms.
Yeah.
And so we go to plug in the heaters, and the circuit breaks. And so I go downstairs, and the landlord hasn't left yet. Like, he's on his phone talking to somebody. I'm like, hey, buddy. So this is happening. So I'd rather you didn't leave until we figure out this heater situation.
Right.
So we figure out, you know, that like, if we get them on there, it's just going to flip. Like, that's just what's happening.
Yeah.
So, he gets on the phone with his electrician buddy, and his electrician buddy's like, well, yeah, obviously that's going to happen. And the rest of us are like, I don't know that that's obvious, but cool.
Right.
So his electrician buddy comes over to help us out with this heater configuration.
Fuck.
And the landlord has like a much bigger And here's what it is, and some people have already figured out what the problem is, mm-hmm. and some people are about to learn what I learned over the course of Monday evening.
Sure.
Which is, if you have 3 15-amp heaters and you have a 15-amp circuit, you cannot run 3 15-amp heaters
no.
on the same circuit.
Fuck.
We did not know it was a 15-amp circuit.
Yeah.
Because that's dumb.
Yeah. For all three bedrooms?
Yeah. Well, they're all on the same circuit.
One. Yeah. That's a problem.
Yeah. Right? So that's an issue.
Yeah.
So we learned this. So then the electrician guy says there comes and looks at the box and was like, well, you've only got one circuit that's 20 amp. It's the kitchen. Which is the possible furthest from the bedrooms that you could get.
Right.
Like, if you tried to run a cable from the kitchen to the top of the stairs that go to the bed, that is the furthest possible place. So here's the fun. So electrician guy figured all of this out, and he's like, there's no way you're going to be able to run more than one of these heaters upstairs.
Mm-hmm.
And there's no way that you're going to be able to, like... So these are the places that you can put them to where everything's going to run and not flip a circuit.
Mm-hmm.
I'm like, okay, so what are we doing? And the landlord had a 20-amp heater that was much bigger and much more fuck off that he could plug in. And so there's like this extension cable, and it's not going to be enough to get it up the stairs. And the electrician was like, no, we'll just plug it in down here. And it will heat up the bedrooms upstairs. And I'm like, I don't think that's going to work. And he goes, well, you see, because heat rises. And I said, I understand the laws of thermodynamics. This is an old house with drafty windows. I don't think this is going to work.
Right.
But he continues to assure me that this is going to work. And I look at the landlord, and I can tell that the landlord has doubts. But he's also trusting his electrician buddy friend.
Right.
Right? And I'm like, well, we'll try it. And if after a couple of hours the bedrooms are not heated,
yep,
I will make a phone call to my landlord and we will make other plans. Mm-hmm. So 2 hours later, when it hadn't worked, because fucking old house with drafty windows, and there was more cold coming in than that radiator could handle to be able to heat an entire fucking house.
It's almost like you need some kind of like a furnace.
Yeah, something like that. Something similar. Yeah. Yeah.
Boy, that would work.
So,
shit.
So yeah. So I call the landlord. I'm like, look, unless you have a magic solution for me in the next half an hour, I'm going to go rent a hotel room and you're going to pay for it. Because
mm-hmm.
people's need their sleep. My roommate's got to work tomorrow.
Mm-hmm.
Like, this is all what this is. And he did not argue with me on that at all. He was like, yeah, that's fine. Go get a hotel room.
Mm-hmm.
And that was about the point at which I broke down. Because I was cold. I had been cold the entire weekend.
Mm-hmm.
Like, since I got out there Friday afternoon.
Yeah.
Like, Friday at noon, basically. And fuck, was just cold the entire way through. And now it is Monday night. And my home is in disarray. And I don't have heat. And I am frozen to the fucking bone consistently.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And
can't even shower.
And been through a very emotional weekend.
Well, and it was also just... I don't have a home. Right now, everything is practically still in boxes, and that affects me exceptionally poorly. Mm-hmm. I took time off of work this week. I took an entire week of PTO, and a large portion of that was to unpack my boxes, and I can't do that because I can't feel my fucking fingers.
Mm-hmm.
So everything is just shot to hell in my brain, and I just break down. So anyway... So we're trying to figure out, so we've got this hotel room. It's two doubles, you know, two people can sleep on one of the beds, one person can sleep on the other.
Mm-hmm.
And then a beautiful, wonderful roommate was like, wait a minute, I can have a heater going upstairs
right
in just my room.
Mm-hmm.
She's like, so I can spend the night here, and when I wake up at like bloody ass early in the morning, I don't have to wake you guys up.
Right.
If you guys go to the hotel. Okay, so this is plan. Mm-hmm. And Furnace Guy is going to be by the next morning at 10 a.m.
mm-hmm.
So, and here's the plan with the, here's the problem with the furnace, you guys. Here's the problem with the furnace. Number one, it's like 70 years old.
Right.
So nobody's 100% certain how to turn this on. By the way, the poor landlord, I do actually feel for him quite a bit. He purchased this house a few months ago.
Oh, okay. Fuck.
Yeah. So, and what happened, and this is why this is an issue, is it is not just the fact that this is a 70-year-old furnace. I'm pretty sure we can figure this out without blowing up the house.
Right.
Like, we can see the gas lines, we can see the pilot, we can see where the ignite is. Like, I'm fairly confident that if it was my house and my furnace, I would just stick a fucking match in there and we would have furnace. The problem is that when they came to take a look on it, at it on Sunday, the furnace guy was like, this furnace has been painted with non-heat capable paint. So if they light that furnace, now we've got toxic smoke fumes all over our house.
Oh, good.
So this is why I don't have a furnace. It's not even that 70-year-old beast monster couldn't be turned on. It's that if it does so, now I'm breathing things that are bad for me and the place smells and everything else.
No. Yeah.
Because the previous owner, in an attempt to sell the house, painted everything to make it look good and not necessarily functional.
I wonder if there's some kind of a, like a civil...
Well, let me keep going with my story.
Sure, yeah.
Because it doesn't end there.
Oh, God.
So, this morning, the guy was going to come over, and the plan was to remove the paint so that they could ignite this furnace.
Oh, fuck.
Oh. And I'm fine with this, except that that's a lot of little bits and pieces, and I'm not sure you're going to get all of it and whatever.
No, yeah.
So that was the original plan as of last night. This morning, I get a message from the landlord that was basically like, we are going to replace this furnace. I will message you when I have more information. Mm-hmm. And I was like, so, I don't need to be there at 10 for some guy to take paint off of a 70-year-old furnace. And he's like, no, no. I'm like, cool. I'll be in the hotel room until checkout. Message me when you have more information.
Right.
So, we were in the hotel for a couple hours. Had I known, I would have brought a bathing suit because I would have just gone and soaked for a while. That's... again, seems on the landlord's the dime, and hot he is tub. Not, I know, right? And he's not fighting any of this. The landlord, yeah. The landlord very specifically said, I want you to be as comfortable in your home as I am in mine.
Yeah.
Like, he's on the up and up. Seems he just like a generally stand-up purchased person. A home that was painted a lot to make it look good and is not functional, right?
Yeah.
So, okay. So noon comes, we check out of the hotel room. I drop Jess off at the house. Like, we go back to the house.
Mm-hmm.
She's got the heater up in her room. There's a heater downstairs, and it does an okay job of heating up the downstairs.
Sure.
It just doesn't reach to the bedrooms, which is where I need to sleep, right?
Right.
So... we get there, and then my boyfriend messages me, and he's like, so, do you want to go grab lunch at Merlin's? And I was like, yes, please. So I spend a couple hours at Merlin's eating with my boyfriend. He's buying me boozy hot chocolate because that's like super comfort, right?
Boozy hot chocolate. Yeah.
They have a boozy hot chocolate at Merlin's with like Kahlua, Amaretto, and Triple Sec. Or Grand Marnier. I can't remember which.
Hmm.
It is incredible. And I highly recommend it. Anyway, so... And then afterwards, boyfriend and I come back to my place. And we cuddle on my love sack. in front of the heater and watch Steven Universe. waiting for the landlord to get hold of me to tell me what the next step is. And about 5 o'clock, he sends me a message that says, "Hey, we have located a furnace. It will be installed tomorrow morning at 10 a.m. Go get another hotel room."
All right.
Like, he very specifically instructed me, go spend the night at a hotel. I'm like, all right.
And you have your swimsuit?
I do have my swimsuit.
Hot fucking shit.
I have to be there at 10 a.m. tomorrow morning, so I'm not going to be able to... Yeah. Although, I might just keep the hotel room, and once I let the guy in, come back and soak for a while. I haven't exactly figured out my plan.
Because
checkout's at noon. I know. Also, it's a fucking block away from my house.
Oh,
so it's not like, you know...
Oh, yeah. No, that's a thing.
Yeah.
Yeah, I can just bop over and bop back. This is not an issue.
Yeah.
So, like tomorrow morning might like be a lot of hot tub soaking. But, So that is now what's going on in my house, which is a lot of cold air and not enough hot air. I never thought that I would need more hot air in my life, but apparently. God damn it. Yeah, could you guys just, like, go hang out at my place for a while?
All right, we're going to fill your cupboards with hot farts.
Okay.
Yep, invite us over. I haven't seen your new place yet, so.
Well, you're not going to until I can get those boxes unpacked, and I can't fucking do that I have heat in my house. Seriously, like, got me on edge. You guys, you have no idea
how much this
is driving me absolutely fucking
I know you well enough to know exactly.
So anyway, and that is the saga of the furnace at the Keep, which is the name of the place, by the way. Our house is named the Keep.
Drink to forget.
Oh God!
Your mentioning of the
boozy hot chocolate.
Your mentioning of the hot chocolate reminded me. I went through all the chai yesterday.
Oh, I believe it.
Like, yeah? We went. Rady Lee and I, before stage cleanup, we went to breakfast, and I got a large chai, a large dirty chai.
Ooh.
Dirty.
That extra shot of espresso was needed.
Yeah, I believe it.
So, breakfast, large dirty chai, get done cleaning up the stage, go to lunch, large dirty chai.
Hot shit.
Go and sit in the hot tub for a while. Get done with that, go home, nap, wake up. Go get dinner. Large dirty chai.
Yep.
Pick up the kids.
Yeah.
Like, it was just like...
Starting to sense a theme.
Also, dirty chais are my, like, my Patronus or whatever.
That's fucking awesome.
I was going to say, like, totem, but that's
insensitive.
And I
correct.
Didn't know what else to say, but I use Patronus even though I fucking hate Harry Potter. And I couldn't think of another euphemism to use, so good enough, close enough.
Euphemism.
But yeah, chai. By the way, if you like chai, if you are a fan of chai, go to Khyber Pass on Grand Avenue in St. Paul and get a chai.
Because
it is the best fucking chai.
Isn't Khyber Pass...
Afghani food.
Yeah. I was going to say, that's...
Best guy.
I feel like if I ask my phone for directions to Khyber Pass, it's going to tell me to buy fucking ocean liner tickets. Yeah. I'm down for it.
Yeah.
That place is delicious. Anyway, sorry. Yeah. Chocolate reminded me of that.
No, that's fair. Fair and understandable. In summary, there is no heat in my house. I live in a hotel and I have a wonderful boyfriend in the end.
Gross.
And maybe someday I will get to live in the house that I am renting.
Speaking of...
Or I'll get to stay in the hotel long enough to where I don't have to pay rent.
Also that.
Because basically we're paying for the hotel room, and then we're just taking it out of next month's rent. Oh, okay.
At some point, you'll just be the crazy old lady that belongs there.
And I'm okay with that. There's
no one
will
question you.
That's the other thing that's nice about the hotel. Like, we've got acceptable water pressure in our house, and I'm going to get that shower head replaced so that we've got more. But hotel shower, hot damn.
Yeah, I suppose.
God, yes.
Also, when you live in a hotel, you just have a maid.
Yeah. Yeah, that's nice.
I don't know what I've been doing with my life, guys.
Right? I want to live in a hotel. I don't... Now I'm trying to add this up and figure out if I make enough money to live in a hotel all the time.
Depends on the hotel.
I mean, there's that as well.
I think if I split it with somebody...
I mean, if you go to Hotel California, then you can never leave.
Yeah.
Get out. No, wait. Come back. We need somebody to press the buttons. All right. You know, speaking of hot fucking California. Drinks, you know what I could go for?
What could you go for?
Some True Stone coffee.
Oh, I was going to say toddy, but True Stone sounds
also
good.
Also fucking that.
Oh, fuck. I'm going to need some. That's been the saddest part about this experience, you guys.
Is you're away from your coffee maker.
I'm drinking hotel, crappy bag coffee
now. Can you bring coffee to the hotel?
I can.
Can you be like,
but it's the little coffee maker that doesn't, it's like
a Keurig thing.
Yeah, it's kind of, it's not a Keurig, but it's like a single serve coffee maker that has like a filter that's like, is that? Like 2 to 3 inches in diameter?
Yeah.
They don't make filters for that. I might be able to jerry rig something,
but at that point, yeah.
So yeah, I'm using the little coffee puff. You might as well at that point
just get some boozy hot chocolate.
Yeah.
I ended up buying little plastic reusable filter cups for one of those Keurig things.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you were telling me about that.
Yeah.
Oh, sure.
So that I could continue drinking True Sound with all the convenience of
a Keurig. How is that working for you?
It's great, because I also then don't have like the shitty conscience of using the...
Dumping the fucking things in the landfill.
Million packets.
How much did one of the girls go for?
The little filter cups?
Yeah, well, just the whole unit, the filter cups and a Keurig at this point.
It depends on which Keurig you get. Some of them are like, I think, $60 to $80.
Might be a thing.
Do they have smart home Keurigs?
Maybe.
Because that's, if I get another coffee maker slash tea maker,
hey Alexa,
I am getting...
Make me a True Stone coffee.
Yeah, right. that's just it. Like, I'm getting something that I can Star Trek this shit and say... Yeah. Hey, Google, tea, Earl Grey, hot.
Right.
And fucking then I have tea. Because this is my goal, is to live in the Star Trek universe.
Make a correction, though. You're saying it, so it would be tea, Earl Grey, hot, please.
That's true. I actually had this conversation with somebody like just the other day where they're like, yeah, no, I always say please afterwards. I'm like, oh, thank God I'm not the only one. Like, it's just like it's a Minnesotan thing. And I made the argument like, no, I just when the robot army takes over, I want them to think kindly on me.
Like, I would like a quick and merciful death, please.
Right, we had
none of this working in the salt mines for me.
Yeah, no, just kill me now.
To the brain,
please.
But no, I.
Yeah.
One, I will look that up. Two, being able to just have some beans, put them in the grinder, dump the grounds into a little plastic cup that I wash out.
Yeah.
And have it like. Poop a hot cup of coffee into a mug for me whenever I need one is incredible.
Right.
So, I'm absolutely about it.
Yeah.
It's working out really well, and it's even better that it's True Stone.
Oh, but James.
God, I miss True Stone.
How can I get some of this True Stone?
Well, don't live in a hotel.
Well, for one. Two. You can order it online by going to truestonecoffee.com.
How do I get there?
Truestonecoffee.com?
With your imagination and a web browser.
And the internet.
Truestonecoffee.com?
Truestonecoffee.com.
And then what do I do?
.com.
And then you look for products, coffees, and torso pants, and tulip glasses that are of interest to you. And you
torso pants,
shirt,
right? Like pants for your torso.
Shirts, they're shirts also.
And you add them to your virtual cart, and then you go to the
virtual
cart.
She's making a lot of sense right now. You not so much.
Well, I understood them.
I'm gonna. She's making sense, so I'm talking to her. Jenna, what do I do at this point?
So at this point, you take all of your goodies, like the tulip glass and the torso pants. And you add them to your cart. And then you click the checkout button. And then at the checkout button, you're going to have some options, salsa.
Oh?
Yeah, you're going to have the salsa. Option. Yep. Well, and like everybody will have options. But one of these options is going to be for a promo code.
A promo code, you say?
Yes.
What kind of promo code would you use?
Well, I would use a promo code that would give me 10% off of my purchase.
10% off of your purchase?
Is there 10% such a thing?
There is,
the
actually.
The hell you say.
No, it's not the hell.
Oh, what is it then?
Apropos.
Is it spelled apropos?
Well, it's spelled apropos. It's pronounced apropos.
Oh.
Yes.
And then I can get 10% off my coffee?
Yep.
Because after this conversation, I really could use some coffee.
Oh, my God. Torso pants.
Jesus Christ. Uh-huh. I have no idea what you're smoking, but it is not the good stuff.
Lack of sleep and just chilling my bones from the past 5 days. Yeah.
I've been rolling up coffee grounds in a used filter and smoking it.
I believe that.
I have been drinking all of the hot tea.
Yeah.
Which has been amazing on my throat and not good on my lips.
Mm.
Oh yeah.
Oh, by the way, dear listeners, I burnt the shit out of my face.
Yeah, he did.
Yup.
Yeah, like I'm not joking. I had a serious accident on Saturday, and I burnt myself quite badly.
You guys don't eat fire.
Don't eat fire. It's a bad idea.
It's really it's on a scale of 1 to salsa.
Like,
salsa.
If I can be serious for a second, I would, but I can't.
No.
So I'm just going to be goofy about it. But we joke about the fact that I put my life on the line every single show, and that's not a joke. That's fucking serious. Like, scale of 1 to salsa, ha ha ha. No, I'm fucking serious. I could literally die every show. And
as much as we joke about it, it is very serious.
I had an incident on Saturday that could very well have ended poorly. The damage was shockingly less than it could have been.
Right.
I lost some eyelash and I lost some eyebrow and I have some pretty bad burns on my lips and the inside of my mouth.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. But I'm still here and I'm still alive and nobody in the audience ever knew how bad it was because I'm a fucking professional.
Yeah.
And drinking tea has felt amazing on my throat, like I said, but my lips have been regretting so many things. It's not like I need to do a show this coming weekend. Fuck.
Sucker.
I need pizza rolls.
But anyway, coffee. Sound great.
Yeah,
I could use some of that.
10% off.
Help.
Apropos.
You guys got, like, kudos or shout-outs?
I do have a kudo, as a matter of fact. We were talking earlier about the awards ceremony on the weekend, and specifically the unicorn. So for those that do not know, basically what the unicorn is the...
Spirit Award?
Lifetime Achievement.
Well, that would be I think the Lee Walker is more the
Lifetime. Well, I've heard it called, like Eric Knight specifically called it, the Lifetime Achievement. Or I always call it the Hall of Fame.
I think Hall of Fame is a really good
Hall
way
of Fame.
It's you have to have worked as a contracted entertainer for a minimum of 10 consecutive years.
Yeah.
And I don't remember the exact verbiage, but it's basically somebody who exemplifies the spirit of festival year in, year out, and all year
round. And all year round.
And, you know, somebody who basically is festival.
Yep.
Jenna, you've got one.
Oh, God,
I got mine a couple years ago.
It's going to be 8 more years. Yeah, it's going.
I've had mine since 2006. But
that is something that we have talked about in the, you know, Eric and I have talked about is the fact that because it is specifically entertainment, there are people that have been out there forever.
I'm coming up on my 10th year.
Fucking Chris Riga. You know, we were talking out there about consecutively, the fact, you know, he's been out there for 20 all close to 30 years or something like that.
Gajillion
and
years.
Yesterday was his first year as entertainment, so he would have to be another 9 years in order to get it. It's just like, that's kind of bullshit.
Or last year, yeah.
But,
yeah.
But that's neither here nor there. But it's 10 consecutive years as a contracted entertainer.
Right.
Mm-hmm. And basically, they live, breathe, and are the festival.
Right.
And my shout-out today is going out to my really, really good friend, Brett Posick. Who got his unicorn this year, and it has been an absolute pleasure to watch him go from his first year out there, this very shy, uncertain, like, raw talent, but no focus, and watching him grow and come into his own, and now he gets out there and he is just such a natural on stage, and he's got 2 world records, like Guinness mm-hmm. World Records, and he is so effortlessly amazing on that stage, and he's performing outside a festival now, and I'm super, super proud to call him a friend, and this was a very much deserved award for him. So shout out to Brett for getting that unicorn. Good. And 1 or 2 time guest on this show.
Yeah.
A while back. Went back when he was getting his Guinness record.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so. I remember listening to that.
So
yeah. Nice.
So that's me.
Jenna?
I've got a shout out to the Wardrobe Refinery.
Oh, good one.
Right? This is a local business run by a friend of mine, who is a longtime designer and stylist. It is a clothing style. They buyers basically building a collection for you.
Personal shopper.
Personal shopper. It's collections. It's not just a personal shopper. I'm not saying, hey, go get this. They build you a collection. They build you a wardrobe.
Mm-hmm.
So you fill out a profile thing, and then you go in and you try on a bunch of clothes.
Mm-hmm.
And you only walk away with what you want. You mm-hmm. only pay for what you want. There are a couple of things that I like about this place. Number one, it's a friend of mine. She worked as a designer for Target for years, came out with some outstanding lines. She is very good with the female body, and is one of the most encouraging people as mm-hmm. far as clothing is concerned. She does not pressure you to buy anything. Like, she's very serious mm-hmm. about the whole, if you are not 100% comfortable in it, don't get it.
Mm.
Just fucking don't.
Yeah.
But the other thing is, and very specifically about Wardrobe Refinery, is that it is thrift.
Oh, amazing.
So, yeah. So it is all finds from you know, a vintage consignment, whatever, stores that are a very good quality.
Oh, that's fantastic.
That, you know, cause, so they basically do that search for you.
Mm-hmm.
And then you are reusing clothing that is still perfectly good. So it's very strong in an eco-friendly sense. It costs less to purchase these
fucking
things.
Fucking awesome.
Because, right? Like, and you also know, and I mean, I know this because I know her as a person, but you can also tell for her just because it is secondhand. She's not making money selling out to other brands. Mm-hmm. Like some stylish shopper places will kind of buy into certain people and, hey, if you sell a lot of this brand, you get whatever, blah, blah, blah type stuff. So nobody's trying to push you into a specific brand or something that's not going to work for you. She has been in the industry for quite a while, and she knows brands. Mm-hmm. Like, there was a pair of pants that I tried on that wasn't quite right for me.
Mm-hmm.
Apparently, you guys, I have curvy hips.
Weird.
I know, right.
No one has ever complimented you.
On my curvy, curvy hips?
On your hips or butt.
Oh, God. But there was a pair of pants that I tried on that fit perfectly everywhere, but it was a little tight in the hip. And by everywhere, I mean that ungodly waistline thing where you get the gap. I had no gap. And all of the ladies already know what I'm talking about. Dudes, you might not. When you've got a butt that goes out, you sometimes get a waistline gap where it just pulls away.
I know exactly what you're talking about.
Yeah. Yep. So that these pants fit perfectly in all those ways, but it was really tight on my hips, so the pockets were like bunching open, and I had like little pocket wings. And she's like, "Oh, I know that brand. They have a curvy line. Like, I bet we could find some pants for you in that line that would fit well. So we'll do some searching for next time, and we'll see if we can find some." Mm-hmm. And I'm just like, she just knew automatically what that was and where. So her experience was invaluable. When I go thrifting, I will often try on about 20 pairs of jeans and walk away with zero.
Oh.
At this place, I tried on 10 pairs of jeans and walked away with two.
Nice.
And they fit perfectly.
That's fucking awesome.
And there is one pair, not the particular pair I'm wearing tonight, but another pair. My butt looks so good in it. We both just kind of stared at it in the mirror for a while. It was that amazing. I was like, I don't know if these jeans make my butt look good or my butt makes these jeans look good, but this is all good what's happening right here. Dang. It was real good.
Nice.
Wardrobe refinery. I got a couple of blazers, the swank sweater that I'm wearing tonight.
It is very swank.
And a couple of pairs of jeans. Spent, an acceptable amount. Had a good time. She was very kind. And, yeah, I'm not just getting more new clothes hand-stitched by little Asian kids in factory settings, but, reusing what already exists. So.
And this is a service primarily for people who are female-presenting?
No.
Or is this?
Actually.
As a matter of fact, I should also mention, she does minor alterations as well.
Yep.
That's fucking awesome.
A friend of ours, who we used to work at the same company for,
sure,
no longer, a friend of ours has been using her services for a while now, and he looks fucking amazing.
Right.
Because he finds shirts that fit him correctly across the shoulders and everything like that, and then if it's moo-mooing out on the bottom or something, she'll bring it in and tuck it in and make everything trim all the way down his torso and just make everything perfect.
The other thing is, specific to this month, actually, when you shop with her, a dollar of what you spend is going to Bridge for Youth, which is LGBT
awesome.
Supporting nonprofit. And she does work with people that are homeless or, trying to go in for job interviews to help.
That's great.
Make and she's worked on a couple of other different charity drives for like socks and underwear and things like that. So she's super giving and super aware of the community at large. And she does. She works with people of all types.
Can we pop the link on the show notes?
We will be absolutely doing that. That's awesome.
Because for me, this solves the two major concerns that I would have about the... Well, I guess three major concerns that I would have about the... the trunk club, the... there are, I think, five or six of these services advertised on a lot of the podcasts that I listen to. And... For me, one, paying $50 for a shirt, I can't fucking do it.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Second is I have really, I almost said that I have really weird proportions. I have a human body and it's different from most other human bodies.
Right, exactly.
Like most human bodies are.
Right.
And I find that my shirts, if they fit my torso, are short in the arms. If they fit my arms, then I'm wearing a fucking circus tent. And that's just the way that it is. And then the third thing being that, I really do like the idea of reusing materials.
Exactly.
So that's so fucking good.
Yeah.
Well, and the fourth thing is if you build a relationship with her, she mm-hmm. can keep she gets to know what you like and yep. can keep yeah. an eye
like,
open.
We were for in that. Basically I bought an hour of her time mm-hmm. in just trying things on and having her appraise me and me talk about what did or didn't feel comfortable with me. Mm-hmm. And she was taking notes. Does not like this, fan of this particular brand. This whatever, like this brand and this style of this jean fit really well. Mm-hmm. So she'll continue shopping, and when she finds things like that, she'll let me know.
That's fucking
so yeah,
perfect. Yeah, I can almost guarantee that this is a service that I will make use of.
Yeah,
I think you would enjoy it.
And honestly, like you do buy an hour of time.
Mm-hmm.
But in that time, like she gets to know you, and frankly, I got more jeans out of that 1 hour than I have gotten in 4 hours of thrifting by myself.
Shit.
Like, that is a time saver. Mm-hmm. That is, and it was all clothes that I felt like super just really good in.
When so, I thrift, yeah. I'm usually going in for like an emergency outfit for some mm-hmm. professional
yeah.
thing or date or something. Mm-hmm. I'm going to buy the one thing that fits me. I'm going to try three things on. I'm going to buy the one thing that kind of fits me, mm-hmm. which is going to be short in the arms, and I'm just going to suck it up and deal
yeah,
with it.
No,
I'm going to roll the sleeves up.
Yep.
She's very big yeah. on the you should only buy things that you feel yeah. 100% great in.
Yeah.
And if you don't, and
awesome.
I mean, you know, she can alter, she can whatever, mm-hmm. but yeah, she is fantastic with that.
Yeah, I look forward to this thing.
Yeah, do it. It's worth your time and money.
Also a genuinely awesome person.
I know, right? Like, we finished with mm-hmm. the session that I had paid mm-hmm. for with her. And then, like, after that, we were just friends chatting for another mm-hmm. hour, talking about nonprofits and charity things that we were working mm-hmm. with and things that we wanted to do to help promote this, that, and the... She's just so goddamn nice. Mm-hmm.
I'm not just saying this because yeah. we are friends.
No,
but absolutely a
she's
wonderful
just
person.
Fucking, and she's a delight to talk to in pretty mm-hmm. much any setting. Like,
that's stupendous.
She is both classy and kind, which is a wonderful combination.
Yeah. I look forward to it.
Both I and her husband married up.
mm-hmm. mm-hmm. Yeah.
Do you ever just pass somebody's husband and just like high five them?
Yeah, I bet. I can see you guys doing that all the time, actually.
James, what's your endorsement?
Oh, I wanted to say
I went on long.
The Moth had a particular episode very recently that was, as a performer, very near and dear to my heart. They did a story with somebody from the Blue Man Group.
Oh.
And the story is about becoming really accustomed to just the routine of doing that, and that it becomes rote, and that you're thinking about, you know, what fucking sandwich to order, whatever. But the performer talks about a time that got fucking shaken up, and I found myself in tears mm-hmm. listening to it, and it's great. And a shout out to the Moth just in general, because I don't think I've gotten through an episode where I was not either laughing to the point of almost tearing up or crying, or where it was just so fucking emotionally potent and amazing and poignant that I was crying for that. It's so good. But yeah, this was the thing that I listened to most recently, and it was fucking great. So you're listening to our podcast. Clearly, podcasts are something that you're interested in. I suggest The Moth, and I suggest this particular one was from, I think, June 26th, something. And it was about performing with Blue Man Group.
Awesome.
It was great. So, yeah, that is my shout out. Thank you to them and to Blue Man Group. Mm. Also,
yes,
for many reasons. So, yeah.
Yeah, all right.
Cool. Hey, everybody.
Hey, Dr. Nick.
Hey, Salsa.
How about a Fast Five? Fast Five! For those that do not know what a Fast Five is you. That's right, you, the dear listener, sends us two emails. The first one contains five choices. We do not know what these choices mean or, you know, whether they matter or have any bearing on anything, but we just know we have to make a choice. Mm-hmm. And it is only after we make our choices that we find out what everything means. Today's Fast Five comes to us from Stefan Moeller.
Senpai!
And he says, hello, friends. Congratulations on reaching 400 episodes.
Ooh, yay! We did the thing.
We did that thing. Jumping right into this. Number one, Lego or Kinex?
Lego. Fucking Lego. All day Lego.
If he had said Erector set, then there would have been more of a, but Lego.
Between
Lego and Kinex, clearly.
I used the Lego regular sets, but I also used the Technix set, and I had all kinds of fucking motors and gears and shit. Mm-hmm. Fuck yes.
Cool. Question number two. Halloween or Christmas? Christmas for me.
This might be like a when is it best to watch Nightmare Before Christmas.
That, we already had that one before, though.
That's true.
So if he did it again, now he's just stealing things just from other people. It might just
be misleading.
But it's Christmas.
Because
there's really not much good around Halloween.
But the colors for Christmas are red and green.
You can see the Halloween. Yeah, but the
colors around Halloween are something else, and who fucking cares?
I do. Favorite colors.
Orange.
What do we have around? Okay. Let's write up a pro and con list. Okay. Yeah. Christmas, presents.
Right.
Halloween.
Candy.
Candy.
Right.
Going with presents on this one.
Okay.
Nope, that's it.
But
that's
Christmas presents are also like emotionally loaded.
Yeah.
And Halloween, you just get a fucking couple of king-size candy bars.
But I don't eat candy.
That sounds like a personal problem. One.
No, it doesn't matter if it's a personal problem.
Mallow cream pumpkins.
It matters not at all because the one thing that Halloween has going for it doesn't matter to me.
What about costumes?
Let me back up. Christmas, I actually have the same problem in reverse.
Fair enough.
Oh. I don't have family that I spend time with for Christmas. Yeah. I have not gotten a Christmas present in 2 years. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, like fucking, I will say though, day after Halloween is really where it's at because discount fucking All Saints candy. Day.
But the thing is with Christmas
is super loaded for me. So I'm going to go Halloween.
Fair enough. Mm. Christmas has Christmas dinner.
Mm-hmm.
Whereas Halloween has.
I legit had corn? A microwave dinner last year.
I have a list of scary movies to watch during October.
I don't like scary movies.
Christmas movies to watch during December.
I don't like scary movies.
You can watch Gremlins during either.
I don't like
You can Gremlins. Watch Gremlins Both. During either.
Mm. Both. Both is good.
Although, I will say I tend to watch Gremlins as a Christmas movie more than I watch it as a Halloween Fair movie. Enough. So if that's the question, Halloween.
Yeah. Don't get me wrong, Christmas is not my favorite holiday.
Right.
But Halloween, as far as I can tell, has literally nothing going for it for me.
See, I like hayrides and I like pumpkin stuff and like pumpkin seeds, roasted
God,
pumpkin
you're
seeds.
So basic.
I like hot apple cider.
Oh,
and
God, yes.
Hot apple cider is pretty
watching
good.
Watching the leaves
But I consider
change.
That a fall thing and Thanksgiving more than Halloween.
See, for me, I associate that with October. Late October, but I associate it with October.
But I don't associate that with Halloween.
And
No, but I also don't associate like eggnog specifically to Christmas, but
Neither
to the
do
month
I.
of December. Right. So
I will show up at work with just a quart of eggnog and just drink that.
No, you won't. You don't have a work right now.
Oh, shit.
I will show up at my house.
That was one of the most casually brutal things you've ever said. Fucking shit. All right.
So we got... Jenna's got Halloween. I've got Christmas. You've got...
I'm going Halloween.
Halloween. Okay.
Yeah.
Question number three. Perch or slouch?
Where
is he going with this?
When you're sitting at a computer.
Do you perch or you do slouch?
Like, do you perch on something and then set it on your legs? Or do you...
Or even like sitting in a chair, though. A lot of people have the computer hunch.
Yeah.
Whereas I make sure to sit as much as I can. Like, work is a slightly different issue, but like, I prefer sitting on things without backs so that I can't slouch and that I do have to perch more.
I do the opposite.
I'm going to go perch.
Oh, sorry.
No, go ahead.
I do the opposite of slouching. Where instead of slumping forward,
you lay back.
I recline.
I know. Oh, recline.
It was so fucking hard to tell if you were even at work that day. I would stand up and I still would not see you in your fucking cube.
You know those chairs where you can like set how far back it leans?
Yeah.
I just disable that.
Yeah.
And I just lean back.
I believe that.
That's and so I'm like low ridering back there.
See, I can't do that. For me, I think this might be a question about what, given your option when you walk into a room or walk into some place, and you're looking for a place to stand or sit, do you slouch in a chair or on a couch or something, or do you like perch on a table?
On a bar stool.
Or, oh, shit.
Do you perch on a bar stool or do you slouch on
a... I like sitting on a table or sitting on a railing or something like that.
Do you perch on a bar stool or do you slouch in a what are those called? In restaurants and bars, the couches, what are those called?
The fuck?
There's a couch in
No,
a restaurant?
Like the table with the soft cushions on the side. And like,
oh, a booth.
Booth, yeah. Do you perch on the bar stool or do you slouch in the booth?
That might be.
I generally prefer to sit in a booth.
I like a booth because the conversation's a little easier.
I just like the cushioning on my butt.
I mean, there's that. But no, I like
perch.
I like dangling my legs, so I'm going to say perch.
I'm going to go
perch. Are we all going perch?
Well. Yeah.
I think so.
All right, question number four. Ooh. Hepburn. Or Grant?
Hepburn.
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 All day.
I do love me some Cary Grant.
Oh, God,
but
yeah.
Hepburn.
Catherine or Audrey.
Yeah. Catherine. Have you ever seen The Lion in Winter?
I have not.
Ooh.
But you isn't it need to see The Lion in Winter.
Audrey Hepburn in Charade?
Yes.
She's fucking unbelievably gorgeous.
Well, that movie is just fantastic.
Well, it is.
And
it's
she is just
movie,
phenomenal but... overall.
Yes.
She is one of my acting idols.
Yeah, fair.
Great. I might be able to cosplay her if I did it right.
Oh.
Or if I was younger, honestly.
I can see that.
Yeah. If I did the hair in a specific way. Yeah. She's kind of a kindred / idol.
Yeah.
Somewhere in that area.
Fair enough.
I do love me some Cary Grant, and other than Hepburn, this would be hard.
Yeah.
But I'm sorry. The Lion in Winter, Katharine Hepburn.
Fair enough.
Yeah. Question number five. Mm-hmm. Rest or catch up?
Catch up.
Which would you rather do on a day off?
Catch up. I wish to fucking God I was catching up on everything right now.
I don't know how to
I can't
still.
Even. I'm like, I seriously, boyfriend came over and he was just cuddling me watching Steven Universe, and there was a part of me that wanted to be doing things, but I also just fucking couldn't. I want to be catching up on all of this house stuff so bad. I can't even begin to describe it.
I've been finding it too easy to rest, but I have not been doing things that actually allow me to zone out. So my brain has been occupied and fitful, and it's not good for me. So I've been taking time to actually play video games or work on artistic endeavors, things that will let me find Zen.
Sure.
You know?
The only way... Satori. The only way I am able to sit at home and just watch a movie or a TV show on Netflix is if my laptop is in my lap. And I'm doing something else. Whether that be the website or whether that be working on something, but something has to be happening.
You may not believe this, but you and I are very different.
I believe it.
What? What? No way.
Yeah. It's weird, right?
I don't believe that at all.
But I'm going to say catch up.
Cool.
Yeah.
Question number one. Lego or Kinects?
Yeah.
Which system is more fun to build freeform models with?
It's Lego.
Oh, Stefan has not been paying attention.
Oh.
Is A Nightmare Before Christmas a Halloween movie or a Christmas movie?
Nail on the top. It's both.
It is, in fact, both.
Por que no los both. But yeah, it's.
But I do watch it more during Halloween time.
I watch it more during Christmas.
I know. Fuck. We have this argument.
Mm-hmm.
So we have found out who is right and who is dead.
Yep, no.
We are all dead. I feel dead.
Question number three. Perch or slouch, which way do you sit on the couch while playing video games?
Ooh.
I perch.
I tend to slouch.
I think it depends on the game.
It kind of depends on the game.
If by slouch you mean slump backwards and recline, then yes, I would.
I feel
that.
Like that would still be a slouch. When I play a video game, I'm fucking. My elbows are on my knees, bent forward, but like on the edge of the couch, just like into it.
You have the whole seat, but you only need the edge.
No, it really. Like, right now I'm playing a game that's kind of peaceful and artsy, and I like it, and that's a leaning back thing.
In fact, thinking about it.
Is it Journey?
No, it's Last Guardian from the same team that brought Ico and Shadows of the Colossus to the PlayStation. Yeah.
Yep.
I'm thinking about it right now, and there is actually a short video or a GIF or something of me at one of the high charity events.
Oh, sure.
On the edge and practically slipping off the couch as I'm getting into this and trying to make the thing happen. So
I know that when it's intense, that I will be poised and fucking keyed up. High tension puzzle games like Tetris or Dr. Mario, that kind of stuff, but also mech fighters, racing games, especially racing games.
Mm-hmm. Question number four.
Yeah.
Hepburn or Grant.
Okay.
Which character trope do you identify with more?
Oh.
Ooh.
The straight man or the eccentric?
Straight man.
Clearly,
I am a really good straight man.
Clearly eccentric for me.
And in fact, like even during like Sigourney stuff, as I'm emceeing, I am pretty much the straight man to everybody else's antics.
Despite being neither in your personal life.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Well, and then, I mean, when Bryn and I were doing the clowning thing, I was the straight clown and she was the goof. And I'm very much so the straight. My sense of humor lends itself to it, too. I'll just deliver something sharp but flat. Like I did to Salsa earlier.
The fucking hashtag murdered by words.
So straight man.
I'm gonna go eccentric because usually it's somebody saying something and then me thinking of some kind of really weird vector on that and taking it in completely a different direction.
Sure. Yeah. That makes sense.
All right, and question number five, rest or catch up. Which do you find a more satisfying way to spend a day off? Resting and or doing nothing, up on chores or personal projects?
Going insane right now, not able to catch up. I can't even begin to fucking... I feel like we nailed that one.
I'm going to say catching up, because being able to look at something that you've done for your personal life... and to feel closer to done, or you know, whatever, closer to current on something, it just feels fucking great.
Mm-hmm.
Personal projects.
Yeah.
That is like my workbench. Yep. My workbench sees daily use.
Yeah.
In some way, shape, or form. Yeah. Whether that be making a simple repair to something the kids have broken, or to building a new prop that has leaked into my brain, something is happening there.
Right.
Gotta stop doing blockhead.
I think you don't understand. I can't.
Literally,
I can't
salsa stop. On a scale of one
I have
to salsa.
A fucking problem. Yeah. I can't stop. Help me.
So, thanks to Stefan for that wonderful Fast Five.
If you would like to send in a Fast Five, please send two emails to salsa@aonpodcast.com.
Hooray!
The first one should contain nothing but the five choices, and then in the second email, repeat those choices and give us context so we know what the fuck it is we're answering.
This Fast Five. Thank you, Stefan.
This was a very good one. Thank you so much to everyone who has listened to us for 401 episodes now. Does anybody have anything to plug?
Rehearsals for Klingon Christmas Carol start this week, so that's coming.
So we will be talking about that more, James.
Yeah. I am still brain dead from Fest.
Right.
Fair enough. This coming weekend, because I don't know how to fucking stop, this coming weekend I will be performing at the Ho-Chunk Casino in Baraboo, Wisconsin.
I will
be doing a Friday and a Saturday show for the general public, and I will be doing a private show on Friday night. I'm really looking forward to that. And the weekend after that, I will be in Baraboo again. For the Gathering of Rogues and Ruffians Renaissance Festival that will be taking place at Circus World in Baraboo.
Fun.
Which is the former winter quarters of the Ringling Brothers Circus, which means I will be fucking performing on hallowed ground, and you have no goddamn clue how jazzed I am about that.
Hmm.
I'm going to guess jazzed.
I'm going to go with pretty fucking. I'm guessing he's pretty fucking jazzed.
Pretty, yeah.
Jazzed. Yeah.
Thank you so much again for listening. Everyone, we are going to get out of your ear holes and give you another week's time to sleep and rest and recuperate and eat the fucking cake.
I love you. Bye. Bye. Bye.
Take it away, salsa.
Cha.
Cha, 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 cha.
Verbal Jazz Fingers.
Verbal Jazz Fingers is the name of my new Led Zeppelin cover band.